1 Timothy chapter 4. We started last week talking about the coming apostasy that the Apostle Paul was referring to. He mentioned, in fact, let's just read we'll read the first two verses, and then we're going to pick up in verse 3. Now the Spirit is declaring explicitly that in subsequent times many will abandon the faith, heeding deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons, in the pretense of false arguments, their own consciences having been cauterized. Now, we talked last week about the false teachers, about the origin of these false, dangerous false doctrines, that they come from demons. Now, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 3, begins to give some examples, a couple of these examples of what he calls doctrines of demons. You know the bad thing about Satan? What's Satan known for? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But does he just come to you with something that's completely, you know, out of the blue? Or does he cloak his lies in truths so that you trust him a little bit, right? You start eating drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah. And then when you're not looking, he slips the poison in and you take it. Isn't that right? He's crafty. And this is what he does with false teaching and false doctrine. He brings in something that sounds right, but it's not quite right. And if you think about where that thinking leads, it always leads away from God. It always leads away. It always puts you in danger when you accept false teaching and false doctrine. Now, he begins to give some examples of this in verse 3. I want to read verses 3 through 6. So here are some examples of these doctrines of demons and those who are teaching them. He says, verse 3, forbidding to marry, refraining from certain meats, which God created for eating and with thanksgiving by the trusting ones who have come to understand the truth. Now, he gives two examples, forbidding to marry and people having certain dietary restrictions. Now, what do these two things have in common? Okay, they're all external things. Isn't that right? They're external things. Is your spirituality, is your relationship with God determined by your diet?
No.
Is it determined by whether you're single or married?
No.
Or how many kids you have? What did the scribes and the Pharisees do?
Ignore the interim.
That's right. They made, in fact, Jesus talked about the traditions of men. They make null God's commandments by the traditions that they impose. In fact, in Matthew 23, in fact, I want you to look at some of these. Look at Matthew chapter 23 for just a minute. Because this is exactly what Paul's talking about was going to happen in the churches, what had already happened to Judaism, which Jesus was condemning in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus went for the throat in Matthew 23. And he didn't go for the throat of the drug addicts and the prostitutes, you know, or the pimps or any of that stuff. He didn't go after those people. You know who he went after? The religious leaders. That's who he went after. Why? Well, look what he says here. Go down to verse, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because there's a lot in here and we don't have time, but look at verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe, and you know they were to tithe 10%, but he says you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. What are that? Spices. Look, God said in the law that you were to give 10% of your increase. And so these guys, you know, they make a big show. They take all their spices, and they're dividing up their little spices so that they make sure they have 10% that they're going to give to God. They're doing all these external things, but what does he say about them? You have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Does the law teach justice, mercy, and faith, the law of Moses? If you look past the external rituals, yes, it does. Implicitly, it teaches those things. They didn't get it. What did they focus on? Only the external things. Isn't that right? These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I love that phrase. Right? They pay attention to some little nitpicky thing in somebody else's life. Condemn them because, you know, their hair's too long, or their, you know, or their pants are the wrong color, or, you know, or whatever it is. Some little thing. And what do? They swallow a camel. In other words, their own life is full of wickedness and, you know, internal corruption. It's like Jesus, you know, when he talked about, you know, looking at the speck in your brother's eye. Don't go after the speck in your brother's eye. Go after the log in your own eye. Right? It's the same thing. He says, blind guides who strain on a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, which was part of the ritual washings in the law of Moses. But inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. See, the rituals in the law of Moses, the washing rituals and all that kind of stuff, those were all symbolic in order to teach certain truths about keeping yourself clean. You did it by acting these things out as an object lesson of the real truths that are buried in the law. But what these people have done is they misunderstood it as being just a list of little external things you have to do. And if you're doing all those external things, you're good to go, even if your heart is full of corruption. They had it all backwards. They didn't learn the real lessons from the law that God intended. It became about diet. It became about clothing. It became about all that other kind of stuff. And that's not what God is interested in. All right? What verse was I in?
26.
Thank you. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. And he's using the washing ritual in a metaphorical way about them. They're the dish, right? They wash the outside off, and inside it's all corrupt. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Right. These are the same guys who crucified Jesus and killed the apostles. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves. You are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpent, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of Gehenna? That's what it says. Wow. What is he talking about there? He's talking about an external religious facade as opposed to something that's real, that's genuine, and that comes from a heart that's been changed by the power of God. There's a total difference between what a real Christian is and what an external Christian is. A real Christian, his heart's been changed. You know, what we are to focus on here is not nitpicking you about how long your hair is or your clothes or anything like that. That's not what we're here for. What we're here for is to help you to learn the things of God, the wisdom that your hearts might be changed, to be tuned in with God, and the external stuff takes care of itself. Isn't that right? It really does. Now, if somebody gets way out of line with the external stuff, we may have to say something because it sets a bad example. But that's not really the force of the gospel. The gospel is about changing hearts and minds so that we do these things because it has become our nature to do them, right? The nature of God. All right, let's go back to Timothy. So these two examples. Forbidding to marry, that is withholding marriage. And let me ask you this. Is there a Christian denomination, for lack of a better term, that has employed both of these things? The Roman Catholic Church has. Their priesthood is forbidden to marry when the scripture says exactly the opposite. It does. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Paul says that every man should have a wife and every wife should have a husband. He gives an exception. If you're gifted to be single, that's fine. But to avoid fornication, Every man should have a wife, and every woman should have a husband. That's what he says, 1 Corinthians 7:1. All right? God has given us that partnership for reasons. It helps us grow. It helps us avoid evil. Things like that. The Roman Catholic priesthood, they say, no, you cannot have. And what's rampant in the Roman Catholic priesthood? Homosexuality, child molesting. I mean, you know, we're not just talking about them, because I'm sure there's plenty of it in other denominations too. All right? What is that supposed to be? Nuns as well, right? You've got the priests who have to be celibate. You've got nuns who have to be celibate. Monks who have to be celibate. All their lives they have to be celibate. God didn't make us to be celibate. You know that, right? He didn't form us. He formed Adam and Eve. He didn't just make an Adam or an Eve. He made Adam and Eve. The norm is to be married. All right? Now, I mean, I understand. Sometimes people are widows and so forth. In fact, Paul tells that the older widows, it's best for them not to remarry. But the younger widows, they should remarry, he says. In fact, we'll learn that later in this book. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture. Go to Colossians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had to deal a lot with this external religion business and people thinking they're pious followers of God because they do some certain external thing. Okay, they wear a particular hat, or they wear a shawl when they pray, or they, you know, do this or that, whatever it happens to be. All right? Now, look what he says here. Colossians 2, verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ, and by the way, when he's talking about dying with Christ and being risen with Christ, he's talking about your baptism. You can compare that to Romans 6. It makes that point very clear. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? That is these external things. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility. I want you to note that. False humility. Do people get pride out of, you know, wearing, like monks wearing a certain costume? Or nuns wearing a certain costume? No, we don't want to do, this isn't a Catholic bashing day, by the way. But you can see that a lot of traditions that are imposed as religious orders or certain ways of being a pious Christian by external things, what you wear and that sort of thing, that this becomes your badge of honor. But that's all external. And what does Paul say about that? He says, these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, fake humility. You know what? God's not interested in that kind of humility. God's interested in humility that's real. Isn't that right? Neglect of the body. You know, there are some people who, they won't go do some certain thing that's just normal activities because, oh, you know, I'm abstaining from certain things. Now, I'm not saying we should indulge in things that are sinful. I'm talking about setting limits that are not limits that God has set as a means of being more righteous and more pious than everybody else around you. You know people like that, right? That's why Paul gives diet as an example of that. There are people who eat certain foods or don't eat certain foods or have to have it cooked certain ways as a means of religious observance, when that's not what God has commanded for us. It's false humility. It's false humility. It's pretending that you're more righteous than other people are when in fact it's all fake. That's what Paul's saying here, okay? False humility, neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You know what he's saying? Those external things don't make you pure inside. Cleaning up the outside of the dish doesn't make the inside clean. Isn't that right? You got to make the inside clean. And there's only one who can make the inside clean, and that's God, by his Holy Spirit. And you humbly submitting to him. He can clean us up by his power. All right? That's what he's talking about here. Go back to Timothy. I got to wrap my sermon up pretty fast, even though I just got started. All right, forbidding to marry, refraining from certain meats. Look what he says after this, which God created for eating with thanksgiving by the trusting ones who have come to understand the truth. You know what Paul's saying? Those who are not all worried about kosher laws and all that kind of stuff, that this is, when you come to really understand the truth, you don't worry about that kind of stuff. That's what he's saying. Look at this, verse 4. Since every creature of God is good, and none are refused, but there's a caveat, when received with thanksgiving, for it is purified by the declaration of God in prayer. Isn't that amazing? You know, when God gave the Israelites all those kosher laws, you couldn't eat pork, you couldn't have a cheeseburger. That's the way Jews interpret it today. You can't have meat and cheese on the same, you know, the same sandwich. You can have them separately, but you can't have them in the same sandwich. You know, I mean, all the traditions of men that they have made out of God's command. And God's command originally was intended to as an illustration of purity, not to be the very thing itself that makes you pure. Look, I wanted to show you what Jesus said about this. I want you to go to Mark chapter 7. Jesus had something to say about food and the dietary laws. It doesn't come through as well in this translation, but I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV in a minute. But we'll read it in this translation first, because it does say it. It's just not quite as powerfully. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him." Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? What about pork? I like pork. I don't know about you guys.
As long as it's seasoned.
Yeah. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can... And he's saying this to a bunch of Jews. All right. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what is he talking about, those things that come out of him? Look at verse 18. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it goes in, it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminating, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." He went down the list of all the sins that the scribes and the Pharisees were guilty of. That's what he's doing. He's condemning the religious crowd. But he's saying these things are on the inside. They come out in subtle ways. It's not about food. It's about the heart. Now, the verse where he says, in verse 19, there's a question mark at the end of verse 19. In the Greek text, there's where you put the punctuation is really a very subjective thing, okay? But most of the modern translations, including the NIV, translate it slightly differently, and I think it's correct. And essentially, here's what it says. "For it does not go into the heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean." That's the NIV. New American Standard is similar. Most of the other modern translations are similar to that. But it's essentially a saying that it's a comment by Mark saying that when Jesus said all this about what enters your mouth isn't what defiles you, it's what comes out that defiles you. And by doing this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Now, when Paul says here, look at what Paul said in 1 Timothy again. He said that refraining from certain meats which God created for eating with thanksgiving by the trusting ones who have come to understand the truth, since every creature of God is good and none are refused, when received with thanksgiving, for it is purified by the declaration of God. And that's the statement that Jesus made. And prayer. We give thanks for our food. That food is clean. I don't care if it's pork. That food is clean in God's sight. Can you eat pork? Yeah, enjoy it. All right? Your religion is not about all these external things that don't really mean a hill of beans morally. Your religion is about your heart, your attitude. God shaping you to become like him. Shaping us into the image of Christ. That's what Paul's saying. And so when Paul says in this passage, he warns us about doctrines of demons. And then he goes on to warn us about these external, this external religion that appears on the outside to be, you know, humility. But he says it's false humility. It appears on the outside to be religious, right? But inside, the corruption is still there. What God is after, what all the law was about, was illustrations for people to begin to understand God and his nature. And he gave a lot of physical illustrations about it. And it became all about the physical illustrations instead of what the law was really teaching. Well, let's continue just a few more verses. Oh, let me ask you a question before I do that. God gave the Israelites these kosher laws. But what did he tell Noah? Was Noah a righteous man?
Yes.
Yes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God spared Noah by having him build an ark. After the flood, what did God tell Noah? In Genesis 9. What? You may eat any creature. And he used the word that is used of reptiles even. He did. He told him you can eat anything. Just don't eat the blood. Drain the blood. Don't be drinking blood. All right. But you can eat any creature. And the Apostle Paul uses the same terminology here when he says any creature is clean. It's purified by the command of God and it's purified by prayer. Yes?
So is gravy bad?
Great.
Gravy the blood?
I think it's cooked. That's, I think, the idea. I don't think the gravy is not really blood, it's the juices of the meat.
Gravy's good.
Yeah. I'm not a cook, so I don't actually make it. So you'll have to ask the ladies that. It's fat, yeah, which is why it's not red. If you got red gravy, you got a problem. But anyway, I want you to notice this, verse 6. Remember, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is training other leaders in the church, other men who are going to preach the message and lead congregations. And so Paul says to Timothy, by reminding the brothers of these things, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, nurturing the sayings of trust and of sound teaching to which you have fully attained. See, Timothy got it. Timothy understood the difference between a lot of external regulations that really are not important and what's really critically important, and that is the matters of the heart, and that is cleaning ourselves up from the inside out. You can't clean yourself from the outside in. You got to clean your... If you have a problem with stealing, there's something wrong with your heart. If you have a problem with lust, there's something wrong with your mind. Right? It's not just that you're looking. It's not your eyes that are committing the sin. It's the mind. The mind is corrupt. Right? The eyes are just there at the command of the mind. Our minds and our hearts have become corrupt, and God wants us to clean the inside. He's given us his Spirit to help us clean the inside. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit. So, all right, we'll stop with that. But the point, I just want to make this last point, and that is that a good minister of Christ, a good preacher of the message of Christ, will be reminding the brothers of these things. That is, of internal religion, internal piety, as opposed to external. It's not about how your hair is cut. It's not about, you know, whether you wear blue jeans to church or not. It's not about whether you have a tie or a coat on. It's not about any of those things. It's about the heart. It's about who you are on the inside. And it's about whether you truly are being conformed to the image of Christ on the inside. The outside automatically takes care of itself when the inside is clean. Did you know that?
Amen.
Once you're thinking right, you act right. You got to start thinking right. That's the thing.